Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Brandon Godden, play-by-play voice of the Atlanta Braves. And Brandon, first, welcome to the show. But we have to talk about something that has gone a little controversial on our show this morning. Our producer, Dylan, listed off his top 5 fast food desserts, and people have a big issue with it. But you're always on the go. Do you stop for a fast food dessert anywhere?
Boy, we're starting with controversy. I haven't even had breakfast yet, guys. Here's what I'll tell you. Fast food dessert, I don't know if this counts, but for me, it was always a Snickers Blizzard from Dairy Queen. Does that even count, or is that just an ice cream place?
I think that definitely counts.
It counts. Yeah. It's got a fast food window, and they serve burgers.
Yeah, that's solid. Very solid.
Now, I'm curious, did anybody throw the McDonald's apple pie in there?
See, that's where the controversy comes in because all of Dylan's desserts were vanilla ice cream based.
Every single one of them.
No bakery goods in there.
Yeah, it's stressful.
Okay. I, as an ice cream lover myself, and I'd even go as far as maybe saying an aficionado, I'm okay with that. but I would like to see this list and consult it further. Maybe we can do that offline.
Yeah. We're going to have to, man. Appreciate you hanging out with us, talking a little bit Atlanta Braves. And obviously, big series coming up, but I want to talk more about the broad picture before we get into it. I guess the way to ask this question, Brandon, is what's the most shocking thing or what's the most surprising thing about the Atlanta Braves so far this year? I think, obviously, you look offensively at the ups and downs, but on an individual level, all the guys on this team, they've had ups, they've had downs. What's been the most surprising part of the season for the Braves so far for you?
I think the inability to be consistently offensively across the board and the head-scratching part of looking back to 2023 and thinking how good that team was offensively, and that this, for the most part, with a couple exceptions, is pretty much the same roster, and seeing a lot of guys have trouble staying consistent. And that I think even last year was also hard to put your finger on. You know, you could point to the pitching and some injuries there for some inconsistencies, but by and large, especially the starting pitching has been solid. Now, the bullpen has a couple holes, and that's been well documented. But I point first to the lineup and just the lack of – you're never going to get – I shouldn't say never, but it's rare that you're going to get your 9 guys in the lineup going hot at the same time. But typically what happens is you get 5, 6 guys going solid, a couple that are just doing okay, and a couple that are struggling. And that recipe is typically good enough to be above average, especially with the lineup that the Braves have. But it seems like they'll get a couple guys going good, a couple that are just doing okay, and then quite a few that are struggling. And then that group that is struggling, they'll rise, and then the guys that were doing well will fall. And I think it's the inability to get enough guys going at the same time and to put your finger on it, it's kind of difficult to do that because, you know, we say this all the time. You look at the back of their baseball cards, and there's some pretty good numbers on there. These are guys that have performed at a high level before. So I try to remain optimistic, and I still think that this team definitely has the capability to turn it around. We still have almost 100 games to go, but certainly go time is right now. It's kind of put up or shut up time if you want to make a run this season.
Brandon, originally when they say that they're moving Sell back, they're like, oh, we're just going to move him back to Tuesday. Then he ended up moving him to Wednesday. And then Elder was supposed to go Thursday. Now they've moved Strider up to Thursday and Elder back to Friday. Is this just trying to resetting your rotation where you have 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 and some – I know that Sell technically would be 1, I think, and Schwellenbach 2. Or is this really just to get certain – pitchers going against certain matchups with the Phillies and the Mets?
Yeah, that's what it is. It's right now realizing that the Mets are at the top of the NL East. And I don't think the Braves' focus right now is trying to catch the Mets, right? I mean, the way that the playoffs are structured these days, you just need to get in. And so would winning the NL East be nice? Sure, but the Braves are really far back right now. I think the focus right now is just beating who is on your schedule and realizing, okay, the Mets are at the top of the NL East. They have the best record in the National League. Let's line up our best pitchers to go against the New York Mets. And then in between the two Mets series, you've got the Marlins. And not that the Braves can't be beat by the Marlins. Obviously, they can. But I think it makes some sense. So you're going to get Sale going in game two. You can get Sale then going to start the series in New York, a four-game series up in Queens to try to set the tone. So that's what they're trying to do, and I don't disagree with that. I certainly understand people who would say, now, wait a minute, guys, you're seven games under 500. You just need to win the next game in front of you. And certainly I understand that sentiment, but the Braves are just trying. Their thought process is, yeah, we hear that, but we think this gives us a better chance to win. And beating the Mets right now in this three-game series at home and starting this tough stretch out on the right foot where you have seven against the Mets, three against the Phillies, and three against the Marlins, I think that was the focus, and that's why they're doing this.
Let's dive into that Braves-Mets matchup for the week, the series, and obviously it's a big one. And I think that you kind of hit on it earlier. I think we're all kind of to the point, Brandon, where you look at it and say, look, you just got to take two or three. Like this whole thing where, you know, you take two and then lose one of the Rockies on Sunday, you got to win series. You got to match them together. We talked about earlier and kicked around, maybe a 10-3 stretch kind of gets you back to where you want to be, specifically if you can do that before the All-Star game. But this is about winning series at this point, in my opinion.
Yeah, you look at it. I think to get into the playoffs, you're probably going to need to get to 90 wins. So you look at the Braves' record right now, they're 31-39. If I'm doing my math, they would need to go basically 59-33 the rest of the way. And that equates to pretty much what you're talking about, winning two out of every three. Now, of course, that's not going to happen every series, right? You might sweep one. You might lose two out of 3-1. But the bottom line is you need to win two out of every three games, winning percentage-wise, if you want to hit 90 wins and get into the postseason. Now, look, the Mets did it last year. They were in a very similar spot. They were 29-37 in the middle of June, and they went on a run, and they got into the playoffs and made some noise and went all the way to the NLCS. So it happened just last year. We saw the Braves do it in a similar fashion in 21-22. So you know that it can be done, and that's why I remain optimistic, even though the frustration of last year offensively and so far this year offensively still really exists, and I get that, but I still think that there's enough in the tank here for the Braves team to make a run. Now, if you go through this 13-game stretch and you go 6-7, or maybe even 7-6, I would come back on and say it's not looking as good, because these are the teams that you need to beat to make a statement and to show the rest of Major League Baseball that you're for real. Like the time is now. Middle of June is when teams who are struggling tend to start to make a run leading into the All-Star break. Because if you go into the All-Star break too far under 500, you're probably going to be looking, especially with how deep the National League is, that a road that is too tough to navigate. So we'll see what these next 2 weeks have in store.
It's the Morning Shift talking with Atlanta Braves play-by-play voice Brandon Gaudin. And we've all kind of been watching Spencer Strider get back to doing Strider things. We were giving him till June to really feel like himself. He had a great performance the other day, Brandon. Do you feel like he's fully back now?
So we always said, and I was going based off the pitchers that I work with, and CJ Nikowski and Tom Glavine, who have done it at the big league level, they were kind of saying, give him a handful of starts. Because when you come back from the procedure that he came back from, velocity takes a while to develop. It also takes a while to get the feel back, is what they were saying, which is, you know, you may be able to get the velocity, or you may be able to throw the slider at the location that you want, but the feel of your pitches sometimes takes a little while to get that back. And I think we saw that. Now, I understand why some people might say, now, wait a minute, he was facing the Rockies. That's probably the worst lineup in baseball. Yeah, sure, take it with a grain of salt. But they're still major league hitters, and he was incredibly dominant in that game. And that was the first time that his velocity was back to pre-injury levels. So now can he build on that? Can he do it against the Mets, a much tougher lineup, one of the best lineups in baseball? That'll be interesting to tell. So he's done it once. Can he now stack two, three, four performances together and keep that velocity up around 97? That's what we'll be looking for this time. But for me, again, I go back to the feel. The location of Strider's pitches before this last game against the Rockies, it wasn't Spencer Strider. It was okay. It was certainly good enough to be a big league starter, but Spencer Strider's elite. And this is the first time he looked elite. So can he keep the velocity and still locate the pitches, especially when he gets ahead of the count? Can he bury the slider where he wants? That'll be something to watch against the Mets and a lineup that is, as I said, one of the best in baseball.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Brandon, there's been a lot of talk about leadership in the clubhouse. And recently, Austin Riley just basically said, look, what's need to be said has been said. Is he the leader of this team? Is it maybe, I know, you know, sometimes it's hard for pitchers to be starting pitchers to be leaders, but I know that John Smoltz was a leader. So who do you think, you're around this team as much as anyone, I mean, who do you think is the leader of the Braves clubhouse?
I would say a combination of probably Riley, Sale. You could certainly throw Ozzie Albies in that mix. I think that those guys are good vocal leaders who know when and how to rally the team. And, you know, we get privy to information traveling with a team and being with them. And sometimes you see and hear things, obviously, that you can report. And sometimes you see and hear things that should be kept private because, look, that is a private space for those guys. And during the media session, when all media are in there, okay, that's open to the public and that's when they talk, et cetera. But everybody in their personal life and their professional life, you're going to have moments that stay private, right? I think those guys have had conversations internally that just haven't been made public, that are good, healthy conversations, that are leadership type of conversations. And I think those guys are at the top of the list, Riley Albies and Chris Sale. Now, Chris Sale, it took a little while, right, because he's only in his second season with the Braves. So he's a guy that's been around a long time. But I think Chris Sale did an incredible job of coming in, reading the room, and then slowly letting that voice of leadership take over as he gained attention and credibility in the clubhouse, right? He had the credibility when he was in Boston, but he waited to earn that in Atlanta, and he quickly did earn that respect, not only with his performance on the field, but the type of guy he is. He is a leader by example. He's a tremendous teammate. I have never heard a bad word about Chris Sale since he came over from Boston at the start of last year. So between those three, and there are others, and I'm not just saying that to kind of equivocate, there are other leaders in the group, but I think those three guys are really vocal leaders, leaders by example, that have a tremendous amount of respect in that clubhouse.
Brandon, before we let you go, we only got about 20 seconds left, but I wanted to ask you about Wiley Ballard making his play-by-play debut on FanDuel last week. I thought he did a pretty good job. Do you have any feedback for him, or what'd you think?
He's tremendous, yeah, and he's only, 31 years old. He's going to get better. He was a student at Georgia Tech when I called games there, so for me it was like a proud father moment. I was thrilled for him and certainly hope he gets more opportunities.
Hey, well, we appreciate you hanging out with us today, answering all our questions, man. Good luck on the call this week.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.